This is The Adoran Show.
Live from The Adoran Show studio in Jubilee City.
Coming up, Adoran goes over the first game of the season.
A review of the ARBA's new rules for gameplay.
Special guest, Heads or Tails host Aaron A. Anderson.
And now, it's Adoran himself.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Hello, 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 and hope you are doing well. Appreciate you checking out the show. This is The Adoran Show, brought to you by Adoran Region Sports. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and show however you want to do it, however that format works for you. Support the show in any way, shape, or form that you can, especially since things are just getting started here. Before we begin the actual episode itself, though, I do want to mention our affiliate. We are affiliated here on Adoran Region Sports with Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle is a site that sells games, ebooks, software, and other digital content, and their mission is to support charity while providing awesome content to customers at great prices. They launched in 2010 with a single bundle, and from there have grown into a store full of games, bundles, subscription services, game publishers, and more. Now, this site not only allows you to buy these sort of bundles at flexible prices, but also allow those funds to be divided up among different organizations, including a significant portion of them to charity. So if you have not already, check out the link in the description below for Humble Bundle and support our content creation while also supporting charity and getting yourself some cool stuff too. There's some cool games and stuff. As of this very moment, actually, I can go ahead and look at some of the bundles that are available right now. Usually, the type of bundles that I go for are the more of the ebooks and software sort of things, especially considering the type of stuff that we do. But there are a lot of things right now. There's, as of this moment, within the next day, there's an Indie House bundle that gets you a bunch of indie game world content, Surviving Mars, Myst, and more if you're those type of people. If you're a TTRPG or Dungeons & Dragons fan, there are always 3D printable models and other items like that. There's so much stuff available if you're interested in anything. I recommend, at the very least, checking out the link in the description below and supporting the show while you're at it. You can change the amount that you're willing to donate to charity or to us in this process while also getting yourself some cool stuff. So that wraps up there. Again, check out Humble Bundle. Thank you very much for being an affiliate with us. As mentioned previously, any purchases made through the link in the description below, I may receive financial compensation from that. So if you want to support the channel and want to get some cool stuff while you're at it, you can check out the link in the description below. Today is a good day. It is a day we are oh so close to the first game of the ARBA season. In fact, that first game is this Saturday. That is right. This Saturday is the first game of the ARBA season, this Saturday, February 5th, 2022, between the Twin Leaves Storm and the Hammerlock Basketball Club. It is taking place at Hammerlock, so they've got the first game of the season at their home court. Now, this is going to be an interesting matchup already. You can just tell based off of how these teams play or how their practices have gone so far and the information that we're getting, what limited information we're actually able to receive. This is going to be a very, very interesting matchup. There's a few players on both of these teams that I'm very interested in figuring out how exactly they're going to play out their game. The big thing that I think a lot of this has boiled down to, and this is sort of the situation that comes with a new league, a new season, and everything like that, is the fact that we don't honestly know what exactly we're expecting, right? We're not 100% sure what's going to appear from these games and these concepts and everything like that. Like, we don't know the strategies of these teams. We can take guesses. We can, of course, take guesses and imply things based on their team construction, their coach's history, the player's history, and how they played in college and previous leagues before that. But until the first game of the season, until we actually get an idea of what type of system they're running, until we get that, I'm not 100% sure if we can make any conclusions about what's actually going on here. I mean, to be fair, and I think most of you are in the same position as well, we're in this situation here where we're just kind of going off the names, right? We know, for example, talking about Hammerlock and Twinleaf, we know that Hammerlock has Gardevoir, Zoroark, Gallade, Rhyperior, a few players like that. And so you know how they play. We know, for example, that Hammerlock, especially compared to a lot of other teams, really has a lot of three-point shooting players, regardless of where they're at, right? And compared to the rest of the league as a whole, it'll be interesting to see how comparative this is to the professional leagues, which we'll get into in a moment. But compared to the rest of the league and how they played in college, most of the players on this team, especially compared to other teams, have a pretty good three-point rating, right? But now the question is, how is that going to play out, right? Are they actually going to be using that? Or have they developed a different strategy? Or are they focusing on a different aspect? It's hard to decide what exactly is going to be happening between now and the actual game being played. Which, of course, brings us to the first game of the season between Twin Leaf and Hammerlock. Now, Hammerlock, we've mentioned previously, big focus on three-point shooting, and this ability to spread the game out. I think that's their big strategy, right? Throughout their games, has been to spread things out. The Storm, on the other hand, don't have that same situation. The Storm have a much more centralized focus, if you want to say. They are more focused on using their size to beat you. Think about the players on Twin Leaf, for example. Right now, on Twin Leaf, they had the first overall pick in the draft, and they chose Gudra. Gudra can shoot, certainly, but think about how Gudra plays. Gudra plays on the inside. They have a few players, a lot of sizable players. They've got Obstagoon as center. They've got Dratini as a forward, maybe the backup, maybe the starters. That's another thing that will be interesting to see as well, is how they're going to imply starters and all that sort of stuff. But think about, you know, they have Phalanx, big player. Snorlax is a big player. Swalot is a big player. They've got so much size on this team, and it'll be interesting to talk with Aaron A., who is going to be joining us on the show, Aaron A. Anderson from Heads or Tails, another show on the Adoran Region Sports broadcast. It'll be interesting to see what his perspective is on this whole sort of idea, like what his questions are about each of the teams. I'm going to talk with him. I have at least one question about each team, and see what his opinions lie compared to mine. But that's certainly interesting. I cannot wait to... I think the season's really going to get started once this first game concludes, because at the very least, we'll have an idea of the philosophy that two of these teams will be playing with. Of course, the actual play style, the game style itself, is heavily focused on the rule set that is being used, which has changed dramatically over the past couple of weeks. It does feel... I was listening to Heads or Tails a couple days ago, and I think it was Hot Baymore that... No, it might have been Aaron. I forget who it was exactly, but they were mentioning how the league, for some reason, despite the fact that we've only been live for a couple of weeks, it feels as though this league has been alive for months. And it might just be the stuff that went into the development of the shows and all of the behind-the-scenes work that everybody has done here on the show, but it definitely does feel like we've been doing this for such a long time, and we're finally at that moment where games are being played, and we'll know, you know, results are actually going to show up. And it'll be interesting to see how the schedule develops over time, how the rules develop over time, because that's definitely changing, right? New rule set. We'll just get straight out there. The ARBA has announced that they are revamping everything in the process of developing this new league, and they're changing the rule sets as a result. Gone is the Elam ending concept that was proposed earlier. Instead, it's being replaced, among a number of other rules, with a more traditional style of play. Think about your professional leagues that you're used to seeing. Standard, you know, 12-minute quarters, 48-minute games, points that are probably going to be in the hundreds, low 100s, like 110 to 120 type scoring games, which is very different than what was expected. With the prior rule set and the prior style of gameplay, it was expected this was going to be like 2000s basketball, if you want to say that, of end score is 98-87 after a tough, grinded-out game between two fantastic teams. The high scorer scored maybe, 28 points. The league leader in points is probably, 29 points a game, as opposed to the modern style where the league leader in points is usually in like the mid to high 30s at times. So the changes here, the style of game, the rule sets and everything like that is definitely going to be changing. We'll see how it impacts the gameplay as a whole, because the weird, maybe fun thing about this is that the college players are not used to this. They're used to the college-style format, which is, again, the old style, right? With, instead of 48-minute games, it's two sets of, I think it might have been 10 minutes, right? Or something along those lines. I apologize, I don't know too much about the college rule set, I'm not as familiar with that, but the style of gameplay was very different than it is in the modern day. And that'll be an interesting change to watch throughout the season as a whole. See how teams start to adapt, or if teams aren't able to adapt. That's where this first season is going to be so interesting, with all the different rules that are changing and everything that's impacting it to make it more like the professional human game. It'll be interesting to see how quickly certain teams can adapt to that. You might see the teams that are able to adapt quicker end up with better results, even if they aren't the better team. Because it's not necessarily if you can play the best, it's if you can exploit the rules the best. And if your team is able to figure out the rules and figure out the loopholes around them and how to play the game, as opposed to playing the game, if that makes any sense, that's where the interesting thing will lie. So that is the fascinating aspect of it. The new rule set now very, very similar to professional basketball. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, coming into the studio is Aaron A. Anderson himself. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. We are back. We are live, and we are here with special guest, Heads or Tails host, Aaron A. Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aaron A., thank you very much for joining us. I know we've known each other for a very long time, but finally happy that I can get you on the show after what feels like a very long time. I think you were talking about this with Hop the other day, right? It's been a long time, it feels like, since things got rolling.
Well, you know, first off, thank you very much, Adurin, for providing me the opportunity to be here on the show. I very much appreciate everything that you've done, you know, for my career personally, for the organization and everything like that. I have to appreciate everything that you've done. It has been a long, long time since I think we've last seen each other. We've had conversations, of course. We talk, we text, and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it has been an extremely long time since we last talked to each other. But I'm excited. I'm ready to see what exactly you've got going on for me. I know we've got some questions, some sort of, trying to combine our two shows, you know, the debate show and your conversational style. But I'm interested in seeing what exactly we're going to be doing today.
Yeah, no, I personally can't wait. So without further ado, we can get into it. What I had here, because for simplicity's sake, for time's sake and everything like that, because, you know, we're all on the advertising budget at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Only have a certain amount of time to do our episodes and everything like that. But what I had here was actually one question for each of the teams, and just wanted to know your opinion on that. We'll kind of go back and forth a little bit, not too much, but wanted to know your opinion on that, if that's cool with you.
That works perfectly fine. I'm interested to see what you have to say about, my favorite team, the Viridian Gamblers, the team, of course, and we're going to get into this. I don't want to go on a rant about the Gamblers already, but we're talking about a group with nauseating fans. That's all I got to say. And no offense, but take offense. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure, Aaron A. Sure. So we'll start off, actually, with the Twin Leaf Storm. I wanted to know personally, because I haven't heard too much about it, what's your opinion on Goodra? What do you think about Goodra?
Goodra, fantastic player. I think they are potentially, and I say, assuming health, and that's the big caveat with everything, right? Assuming health, Goodra has the potential to be the best player in the league. My personal opinion, they're going to be second to Dragon Ball. Again, assuming health and everything. With that said, though, I think Goodra is the player that is most ready now to lead the team to a championship, if that makes any sense. Goodra has done it in the past, has provided that sort of effort, that sort of, how do I want to say this? Goodra has the intangibles, you know what I mean? The intangibles that are necessary for such a play, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Goodra for the Storm, first pick, picking Goodra, not a problem with it. I think it's a good pick. I think it's a pick that's definitely going to be especially useful now, but also, you know, just looking forward at everything, Gudra definitely not, you know, great pick.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I think Gudra definitely has the potential. I think it's a safer first pick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a safer first pick just because of the injury concerns that Dragon Ball has had throughout their career, now only kind of resolving more or less. We'll get to Dragon Ball in a second. Okay, go on.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think that what Gudra provides right now is a security blanket for the Twin Leaf Storm. I think the problem with the draft and the way that it was formatted was that it provided them the first pick and then they had to wait, you know, a dozen more picks before they could get their second pick. So by picking Gudra first, it allows them to have that security. Okay, if we need somebody to get us a bucket, we got Gudra. That's the idea in mind. If we need somebody to take over a game, we want to pick that player with the number one pick. We're not looking for potential. We're not looking for a chance. No. We're taking security with the first pick and going from there. So I understand that pick for Gudra. If I was in their position, I think I would have chosen Dragapult. But again, that's just my opinion. Good friends with Gudra, good friends with Dragapult, and I don't mind the choice at all. I think Gudra definitely, based on how the draft was set up, Gudra was the right pick.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So we'll jump into another question, one that we've kind of been touching on throughout this entire time. So our question for the Sleepwear Cruisers: what's your opinion on Dragon Ball? Do you think Dragon Ball, not just as a player, but the health concerns that Dragon Ball has had, do you think those are going to carry over into the early weeks and so on?
So personally, as I have stated a numerous amount of time, a plethora of times, I think Dragon Ball is the best player in this game right now. Now, granted, we haven't seen much of anything, but based off of their college history, based off of their professionalism, based off of how they play the game the way it's meant to be played, I think that Dragon Ball has the opportunity to be the best player in the game. I think they have all the potential. They've got all the skills necessary. They've got the leadership, the intangibles, the scoring ability, the bucket ability, that clutch bucket ability. Dragon Ball has that. So I think the Cruisers, with that pick in the sixth round, again, similar to how Gudra was the right pick for the team going first, I think Dragon Ball was the right pick for the team going last, because you could guarantee getting immediately after Dragon Ball a player that can take over the same way that Dragon Ball can. So if you look at how the Cruisers did it, and I need to remind myself of the exact order that the Sleepwalk Cruisers chose their picks, but if I'm not mistaken, they started off with the sixth pick with Dragon Ball, and then followed that up with Archeops. You see how they did that? They got the center, the big man, with Dragon Ball, and then immediately followed up with that Archeops, that guard play, that outside play that they needed. You know what I mean? You know, Dragon Ball covering the inside barrier, the great player, the one you throw it inside and they're able to make a play. And then, if things don't go to plan, if Dragon Ball is out for whatever reason, they got the second guy. They got Archeops. Archeops is able to go in there and actually make an impact outside if necessary, or do something a little bit different. You know, if things don't go wrong, you go to Dragon Ball and just go from there. If that doesn't work out, you go to Archeops, and Archeops is able to do what needs to be done. So, great pick for the Cruisers. I think Dragon Ball is going to be great. I don't think those injury concerns are going to be that big of a deal. If you saw the recent interviews that were done and the news conferences about their health, this is basically a case closed sort of case. The injury concerns are just a college thing. I don't think that's going to appear in the pros.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense, yeah. I can definitely see the concerns that some players and some people have about Dragapult regarding their injury concerns in the past, but at this point, I think the only way we'll find out if they're actually concerned is when we go to the actual gameplay itself. Speaking of gameplay, I wanted to know the strategies that went into the development of each of these teams. One thing about, and this is sort of a two-part question with the Umbreons and the Hammerlock Basketball Club, the Umbreons are built with size in mind, huge size, and the basketball club on the opposite side almost ignored size. They've got very few tall, centered, like, you know, centers and forwards and huge players like that. What do you think about those situations?
Yeah, those are interesting situations. I think all of it boils down to the style of play that they're going to end up operating with. You know, with the Umbreons, for example, their size is big. And as a result, they're huge, okay? So they're going to provide a different sort of atmosphere compared, a different sort of environment to play against compared to that of the basketball club. With the Umbreons, their big size means they're going to play more bully ball. And I think that'll probably be more, the issue I'm coming to terms with this first season is the fact that I'm curious to see, and I think you were touching on this a little bit earlier, I'm curious to see what strategies each team are going to get into, right, before they actually start with the actual schemes, right? The first couple of games, I kind of expect just standard basketball play, right? Nothing too convoluted. We're just going to do, you know, screens and stuff like that. Not really, you know, big plays or anything. But when it comes to that, when it comes to just standard run-of-the-mill basketball, I think size is very important. I think size is the best way to guarantee yourself some points. Because when it comes to the three-point line, while threes are worth more than twos, threes at the rate that they're being, you know, put in, they're very efficient these days. Threes, as a result, are much more likely to win you a game, you know what I mean? I mean, they're more likely to provide you the opportunity of coming back. A three, especially how efficiently they're being put in these days, is far more effective than the two, right? But in this current system, and the way the threes are developed, requires scheming. You know, you got to get your three-point shooter open in the corner, or you got to make sure they're the ones bringing the ball up and having the defense spread out. You know, that sort of idea. And before those schemes can be developed, I think that things are going to be much more organized, much more internally focused to get the easy two bucket, right? Because it's a lot easier to scheme up a two-point play rather than a three-point play. You know what I mean? Because two-point plays, they go in at an average rate of, you know, you just toss into your center dunks it over the guy, that's like a 60-70% chance of happening, versus a three-point play, which even the most efficient shooters of all time, those guys are shooting, what, 43-44%, right? And even though that's more mathematically more efficient compared to that of the two-point percentage, I think until those schemes are developed, big players are going to be doing well. So I would not be surprised if the Umbreon start off on a good tear for their season. They start off, you know, 3-0, 4-0, 5-1, that sort of thing. And then we'll see as the season goes along, we'll see if that, you know, falls back to earth. Yeah, assuming, of course, the Umbreons aren't a good team. You know, if they're an average team, then I think they're going to start off great and fall apart a little bit later. Again, assuming they're an average team, same situation for the basketball club, but flipped. I think they're going to start off really rough, because they're starting to try to get that scheme developed. And as time goes on, they're going to get better and better involved in their system. And as a result, being able to score those three-point plays. So that's my philosophy about those two things. I think they're going to have mirroring platforms where the Umbreons are going to start off good and then end up average. And then the basketball club are going to start off bad and then end up at average. Of course, again, assuming that they don't have the schemes developed and everything like that.
Right. That does make sense. Now, for the audience at home, I was actually discussing this with Aaron A., which is why this is the question for this particular team. So, Aaron A., who is one player that nobody has talked about that you're very intrigued by, either for now or for the future? I know the answer to this, but share it with everyone, because I think not many people have been focusing on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, I think, going down the list of teams and everything like that. There's one player that I want to keep an eye on them. And that's Auroras for the Mobile Morviles. Auroras fascinates me. I don't know why, necessarily. I think, you know, they played pretty good in college. They deserve the pick that they got. If I'm not mistaken, let me look this up real quick. I think I got the notes here. They were
one of the latter picks.
They were the last ones. One of the last picks in the draft. Right. Anyway, my fascination with Auroras is just based off of pure potential. I think Auroras fascinates me for some reason, because Auroras, skill-wise, is probably on par with the rest of the league. I think Auroras is probably slightly above average when it comes to everybody in the league, you know, if you want to just throw a dot at them or anything like that. But for some reason, I think Auroras, and it might just be their frame, the size that they play at, but Auroras fascinates me. I think Auroras is somebody you want to watch out for. Not now, necessarily. I think they'll get some good playing time now, but 2, 3, 4 years down the line, I could see Auroras being one of the best players in the game. Not quite somebody that people are looking at currently, but Auroras fascinates me. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think Aurorus has put up some good stats in the past, and so it'll be interesting to see how that turns around, I guess, or, you know, gets implemented in the modern game. Now, Aaron A., I have saved the best for last. for our final question, and you've sort of touched on this in the past, for the Viridian gamblers, what's your opinion on their strategy, how they've been applying things so far?
Oh, their strategy? Oh, of course, yeah, their strategy. You know, it's a wonderful strategy if you're looking to go 500. That's all I'm going to say. It's a wonderful strategy if you're looking to go 500 right now. What they're doing is basically flipping a coin and deciding that's the strategy they want to apply. Now, I got nothing against the owner. I got nothing against the people that are working there. I got nothing against the players. It's not their fault that they got to play with the gamblers. But the fact of the matter is that they can't do it. I don't know why it is so difficult for them to operate with a strategy that decides to use common sense. I don't understand it. I don't understand why they're operating in this sort of, you know, idea. They have drafted, their drafting method at best was confusing, okay? At best, it was confusing. I think their starting lineup right now is five guards. I don't know how that works, but they got five guards. They got one center, right? Glalie technically is a center, but really all they got is Scyther. And don't get me started on Scyther. I don't know what Hop Amor has seen in Scyther. I have looked, I have tried to determine what it is, but I got no clue. And the fact of the matter is, the pick that they had, one of the last picks in the draft, the fact that the gamblers weren't even willing to gamble on Scyther makes me wonder why in the world Hop is deciding on this. But that's regardless of the point. The fact of the matter is that with their current situation, their current conundrum, is that they've got five, how many guards? They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players. 7 players that could be guards, right? They got a few guard forward type of situations, but they got a lot of guards, okay? Now, this would be good normally if you have, okay, fine. You get a few guards out here, you get a couple of big men, you spread the floor out. The problem is, they don't have the ability to spread the floor out, right? Hop has been talking about Smeargle as if Smeargle is some sort of fantastic player. I don't see it. Hop has been talking about Scyther. Scyther is a three-point shooter. I don't see it. They're talking about, I'm looking at the other members of this team, Unpheasant, not a three-point shooter. Vivillon, not a three-point shooter. I don't understand where this is all coming from. But that's the situation that we're dealing with here. Is the fact that the fact of the matter is, when your last picks are starting, that's not a good sign for your drafting ability, let alone for your ability to prove that this team is worth actually doing something, right? I just don't understand it. I don't understand what their decision making is, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All I gotta do is wait. I gotta wait. That's it. That's it. All I gotta do is wait, and then everything will fall apart. That's all I gotta do. All I gotta do is wait.
Well, we will see exactly what happens with your situation. Aaron A., thank you so much for joining me today. I very much appreciate the discussion and everything.
Yeah. Not a problem. Not a problem. It's been a while since I've sat down on this chair. I hope to see you when the season begins a little bit later down the line. Hopefully get you on our show and everything like that, because it'll be good. It'll be good fun to have other people on there besides beating down on Hop over and over again. Frankly, at this point, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. So, you know, we got to get other people involved. I think I'd have a better fight with you than I would with Hop. So
maybe we'll see. At the very least, Aaron A., thank you very much for joining us today. For everyone listening at home, that is the end of the Adorn Show. We will see you on Friday with ARBA tonight, a quick overview of the week and all the events that are going on. Aaron A., I think you have an interview, actually, that's appearing on ARBA tonight.
Yep.
So if you're interested in checking that out, all you have to do is check that out on Friday, February 4th. For everyone here on the Adorn Show and as part of Adorn Region Sports, thank you very much for joining us today, and until next time, take care.